has nothing to do with coming off 9-7. I mean, I don't think, go ask any coach in this room if they, coach, do you expect to be 2-14 this year? Yeah, I'd like to, I think 3-13 would be an excellent season. I mean, no one's thinking like that.
But you know what the fans are thinking.
They should. I mean, they should. You know, I just saw a clip the other day of the Seattle game at home when it was Seattle was driving and they threw that pass and Bradley McDougald intercepted it and it ended the game. And you know what? You know what jumped out at me when I saw the clip is I could hear how loud I could hear the crowd. And you know, you guys were there. Those last two or three home games in Raymond James, that place was rocking. And that's how it needs to be all the time. And that means your fans have high expectations, and we have to deliver our part. I mean, I'm always beating the drum. No opposing jerseys in the lower bowl, and I want that place loud as hell. And I know that our main job is to do what we have to do on the field, but that, sure, we want our fans to have high expectations. They should. And, you know, let's face it, if we don't do our part, then, you know, they'll be getting rid of me. That's just what this business is.
Coach, going back to the early changes you talked about on the O-line, you know, starting in the spring with Marpetko in the center, what makes him a good center? What traits does he have that you think will make him a great center?
Tremendous run blocker, communicator. Good in the screen game. But again, those are... I'm not saying he's going to end up being our center. I'm just saying, I mean, Ali played every snap at right guard last year. One of two old linemen we had to play every snap of the season. And Ali's had two solid, solid seasons for his first 2 years as a guard. But we're just the flexibility of getting your best five out there. I mean, if our best five includes Ali at center, and let's just get a little bit bigger with Sweezy and Panfield at guard, but you never know. If something happens, Panfield might have to move. Sweezy might have to flip over to left. We feel good with either Joe or Evan playing center as well. We've won games with both those guys playing center for us. But when we're watching our cutups, we went through some games last year. You know, all of a sudden we were beat up, and we had some strange combinations at guard and center last year. You know, because on game day you only got seven guys, so one guy gets hurt in a game, your combinations are going to start moving. So anything we experiment with now in the offseason through the preseason, that's just that. That's experimentation to find the best five and give guys experience at different spots. Because in the real 16-game schedule, you've only got seven of them.
What does having Deshaun on the other side of Mike Evans open up for the offense?
Well, Mike gets doubled a lot. Mike gets doubled. Even when a team is in single high, we saw teams rolling their safety towards Mike. You know, they put the corner in press and cheat the free safety. That was a popular defense against us. So that means the guy on the other side was singled. And, you know, Deshaun has shown over his career that he's a hard guy to cover when it's one-on-one. And it's been well publicized. We were the only team that didn't have a 50-yard completion or whatever it was. And we didn't have enough explosive plays in general in the pass game. And in his career, he's averaged in it. We treat an explosive pass as 16-plus yards. He's averaging more than that for his career. And he's been very productive and very steady, you know, over his 10 years.
When you watch the tape of him, how much did Deshaun get doubled in Washington?
Well, they had another pretty good guy with him, you know, because Garcon had a big year as well. So, you know, when I was watching the tape, I wasn't looking at it that way where Deshaun got doubled, so I couldn't give you a good answer on that.
Doug, with all the proposed rule changes, is there any one that stands out as being that you think could be most beneficial for the league or that you're really positive about?
I don't think this was a big year for rule changes. I don't think there was anything, you know, really crazy out there. I think that the jumper rule on field goals, I mean, player safety-wise, all the stuff they do with player safety, that really didn't make any sense that they were letting a guy jump over the line. I mean, to me, that was a very risky play for the jumper. So I think that I don't think there was anything else. You know, the timing things they're going to do to try to speed up the dead time in the game, I think those are all smart moves.
Coach, the looming kicking battle between Folk and Aguayo. That might be the most high-profile kicking competition in NFL history coming up. I mean, how are you going to handle that? What should we know about that?
Okay, well, I think the best thing to go by is we had the exact same thing at punter last year. You know, we had an incumbent punter. We signed a free agent in Brian Anger. We had a punting competition. It was very close, but it kind of became evident towards the end which way we were leaning. And then Brian came out and had a great year, and Jacob got signed by Green Bay and had a good year. So, you know, we did it last year. It was just this year it's going to be kicker instead of punter. And competition seems to bring out the best, and that's not a new thing. That's been around for a long time.
As we've kind of talked about quarterback development in Jameis's context, even going back to your time with Matt Ryan, I'm wondering if there was a milestone when you began working with him where it really turned on the light for you that he was going to get it and be the type of guy that you envisioned.
Are you talking about Jameis or Matt?
Matt.
Well, Matt was in like year five when I got there,
okay.
So the light was already on.
Yeah, yeah.
His light was on. His light was on bright. He was teaching me stuff.
With Jameis, do you see any of the similar, regardless of the timing of the trajectory, similar things in terms of the processing, like we talked about, field to, you know, meeting room to field, and then moving on to the next thing, that type of thing?
Yeah. Well, I think every quarterback's a little bit different. And, you know, when you get drafted first overall, that means you're probably coming to a team that's not as good as it needs to be.
Right.
And, you know, when Matt got drafted number one, they had two first-round picks that year. So I don't think you're comparing apples to apples. But we couldn't be more excited about Jameis. I mean, Jameis, Jason and his guys did so much background work on Jameis. And then when I got there, mine was basically film work between those guys. And, you know, one of the guys mentioned earlier, you know, Jameis basically ran a pro offense at Florida State.
Yeah.
And so I think he was ahead of the curve in that respect, even though he only played 2 years in college. The other thing about Jameis is just a proven winner. I mean, he's always won, and that's really the bottom line.
Coach, what's your plan or what's the goal for joint practices this summer?
Yeah, well, the schedule's not out yet, and but in a perfect world, if it works the way we'd like it to, we're only going to do one this year. I like joint practices a lot, but we felt like when we went back, we did it right after we finished the second one last year. I sent out a little survey thing that all the coaches, and I talked to a lot of the players, and we just felt like two was maybe a little bit too much. And so in a perfect world, we would be doing one the second week, this for the second preseason game. And, you know, we just got to get the approval from the league when the schedule comes out that we would be working with somebody in week two. We do have a team in mind. We have a team that has agreed to do it. And but until the schedule comes out.
Would you be going there, or would they be coming there?
Well, it's like last year because there's another stadium project. So the way I understand it, we have to be on the road one and two, and then at home three and four. So, you know, we went away last year. I thought that was I got some good feedback from the players when we did it last year that it was just the right length. It was like 5 days, and you know, you do get a little bit of that training camp
feel.
Breaks up the monotony. You're one hotel to another. I thought we got some good stuff out of it. And, so we're gonna do it again, and hopefully it works out.
We need four quarterbacks.
We'll have to see. But to see based on other roster spots, I would say probably. But my feeling is always that fourth quarterback is one of the first guys to go.
Yeah.
You know, you start off with 90, and what happens is based on, you know, you get a guy with a nicked hamstring or something, and all of a sudden you're down a receiver.
You
need legs. It's legs. So you need legs more than you need arms. And so I would anticipate that we usually start with the fourth quarterback, but we usually let it go pretty early.
Coach,
last question here.
Being much more involved in personnel matters this offseason as far as the draft and prep for it, and Jason said you were, How's that been like for you? And have you enjoyed it? What are you seeing? Are you spending more time on defense? What's it been like?
Yeah, well, at this time of year, I am enjoying it. And I've done a lot of guys. I've done reports on a lot of guys. Now, I'm
50, 100, 200?
Closer to 100, yeah. And, Jason does far more than that, and our coaches are out on the road. Our coaches are doing a bunch of guys, and they're out doing private workouts, as are our scouts. And now's the time here pretty quick when we start bringing guys in. We got our local pro day coming up, and we're going to start bringing our 30 visit guys in here pretty quick, too. So, I've enjoyed it a lot. It helps me, I know what our perceived needs are, what we think our needs are, and it helps me. Jason has a really good process where we narrow this list down to eventually get to the guys we really want to target. And, we don't have control over that, but it helps when I'm sitting in those meetings and I've seen the tape. It helps a lot.